Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Self-Existing Star, and it is the fourth day of the Red Serpent Wave Spell, and it is Cosmic Moon Day 19. I would like to make it really clear that the natural time year ends on Cosmic Moon 28, so we're 9 days from the end of the year. I would like to remind you that we're in the middle of the Red Serpent Portal Run, which is a stretch of 10 portals that begins on the second day. White Lunar World Bridger is the second day of the Red Serpent Wave Spell, but it's the beginning of the 10 portals in a row, and we're on the third of those. And it's just an interesting kind of study in history. One of my favorite things to do as an intellectual, and to acknowledge that we had Donald Trump's birthday yesterday, and the day before was Joe Biden. So Joe Biden and Donald Trump have a lot of similarities. They're both born within the Red Serpent Wave Spell. They're both born on portal days within it. They're born, you know, right next door to each other. They were not born anywhere near the same year. This is all about where we fall in the Zolk'in. But Joe Biden's first. He's the first portal. He's the gateway portal of the 10. Donald Trump is second. Would that be prophecy? And I just kind of like that there are these neighbors and that we are in their midst right now. And I find myself kind of intrigued by how they're both born in the Red Serpent Wave Spell, so they each have an impetus in their Zolk'in birthdays to serve the Red Serpent Wave Spell. One is to identify the challenge in the Red Serpent Wave Spell. That's Joe Biden. He's lunar, and so he's going to see the shadows. He's going to see opposite what other people see. I think he's pretty empathic for an old white guy, so he's part of the patriarchy, but he distanced himself from it by being matriarchal. He has lost children. He's been a surviving single father. He is really touchy-feely, and he, you know, ostensibly is really loving, caring, empathic, and to some degree, he's, like, emotionally honest and emotionally available. So he's kind of like living within the patriarchal paradigm, and yet he has found, like, the shadow edge that's ignored in the patriarchy, which is more of that heart-centered focus. And at the same time, I think, you know, lunar people, just, they're so headachy. I'm sorry if you're one listening. Just what a chore to always identify the challenge and always be looking at the polar opposite of what someone else is. Always willing to introduce opposition or, you know, in some way balance someone else's views by showing them, like, yeah, but it's also this. You're being negative, so I'll be positive. You're being positive, so I'll be negative. That's kind of, to me, the lunar shtick. So, and then Trump, Mr. Helpful, all he does is walk around wanting to be of service because he's electric. And he's all about the question, how can I best be of service in this situation? And he's a blue hand, so he's really a healer. He's a healer who wants to be of service. He wants to help. So I'm kind of on a I'm on a like, you know, mind melding, perceptive. It's just like a riddle, right? What the fuck? How is he helping and healing with his hands? He's so hands off. Such a germaphobe and doesn't like to think about how people feel. But somehow he's a blue electric can. I think that's a perfect kind of reminder that, you know, who are our favorite, like, evil people? Not like we love them, but just like, oh, so easily evil. Like Hitler. I'm pretty sure Hitler was a blue hand also. He might even have been a blue galactic hand. You could look that up. But, so he's acting in integrity. It's just too much. Maybe it's not funny. So the thing about blue hand, just to get off this, is that blue hand people are often very big know-it-alls because what they lack is in their antipode earthiness, being close to the earth, grounded. They're up in their heads and they're really into making things and, manifesting, that word from manos. And it's all about hand-eye coordination. So you can just kind of hear it in my voice. Like you get all like cranked up, you know, what your mind sees, what your hand wants to make from what the mind is producing, you know, image-wise, the hand wants to turn it into reality. And all the lower chakras and even the lungs are just expended in that. Like, who cares if you have loins? Who cares about, you know, just like being in your footprint when you're all geared up? And that's where a lot of that, like, I know better than you kind of hierarchy exists. So that makes perfect sense to me. I have to remember sometimes that there are millions and millions of people that adulate Donald Trump, and they think he's incredibly healing and, you know, really of service to them. And I'm not being sarcastic. That must be true if so many people think so. It's true for some. So anyway, I'm just like, I've spent a day making sure I could check and see based on the headlines how Donald Trump was being, you know, exactly himself. And I did notice that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was hospitalized. And I thought, well, that's, you know, extreme, but it's pretty much the reaction of getting through this day. So thanks for listening. That was enough on that. That's politics within the Zolkin. And check it out next time we hit white lunar world bridger and blue electric hand. We're going to find out who was number one and number two, actually, in terms of a vote count. That's interesting. So the portals, though, I wouldn't want you to think that portals, that word, a portal, is like experiencing an earthquake or levitation or getting something you always wanted, like a lotto win, or not, you know, just any, like a little hand scratched lotto win. I don't mean the big one. It's not. That's like a portal is just more like, whoa, what just happened? It could be something really small, but it reminds you how alive you are, or that you feel this gateway where you are connected to a greater force, or you were able to get through something that blocked you. Shall I give a mundane example? Okay. I live in California. I've enjoyed going back to dance class for 2 weeks, and I knew it was so suspect to be dancing around without a mask on in a exercise group. So how long could that last? And it didn't last very long, so they took it away. And they took it away on White Lunar World Bridger, which is kind of perfect, right? Just like death and things separating. And it just really shook me up because I enjoy having a part of my life where I don't have to self-generate. That's a word for blue storm. I like being a follower, you know, 2 or 3 hours a week and just showing up somewhere where there's like a exercise shaman who is in control and plays the music and I just move. And so part of the quarantine experience for a lot of us is just all this self-starting, which is cool. It's good for us to find that valve. But I just felt so bummed out that I was going to have to motivate myself to exercise and stay, you know, in that heart pumping cardio experience, which is really good for mental health. And I just, and then there was the portal, and the portal was that I didn't know for sure if the class was canceled. I just guessed it would be, and I just went running. I just went running at 8 at night because I wanted to. It was just an opening that happened. I was just like able, lifted, angelically taken on this excursion. And that's pretty mundane. I mean, I storytell it to the hilt, right? But it's just an example of how the ending of the day, the way I found an opportunity in a death, which is what Worldbridger describes and offers, was just like, well, I felt this takeaway of something that was solidifying my life, and it became an opportunity to just shake out all the tension through exercise that I was for one time motivated to do. And the second day I wasn't motivated to exercise. But anyway, that's a mundane example because I just really want you to not get hung up on, does it have to be just groundbreaking and shaking us up to be a portal? No. Okay, and it's not very interesting though. It's better to share interesting portal stories. But here's the thing about the portals and the Red Serpent. They're just going to get exponential because we're going to get tired of gateways. Just like wait, it's like being sucked through like a gravity vacuum. Just like, okay, I have to go where I'm pulled, and you sort of want to be allowed to stay where you're comfortable. But the portals, when they come 10 in a row, don't allow that pause. We just keep going. Oop, there's another door. Keep going. It's nothing you have to do. It's just something you have to endure. And it can be exciting even to have endless portals for 10 days. You can start to get in the groove of it. But a lot of us, I think, the experience of the Red Serpent portals is like, well, you're showing me a lot of my past. I'm sort of breaking free from my past by really chafing it, or being chafed by it. This whole thing about wriggling out of a dead skin. You see a snake skin, if you've seen one lying on the side of the trail, like they're all crackly. You know what it's like to get a sunburn and have your own version of being crackly and itchy. And something, we're encased in something that has reached its end around us. We're sort of tied or bound by that which doesn't serve us anymore for a moment. It's a process of release, but it has a tension point where it's still with us, even though it's clearly, expended. So think of the portals and the days themselves in the Red Serpent wave spell as kind of like, yeah, if you're really uncomfortable, it probably has some implication about a pattern that you yourself are outgrowing, but you have to experience it one more time in memoriam and also in, salutation, like, okay, goodbye, goodbye. And I have really heavy stories about that right now that I probably won't insert here, but like I'm experiencing the past through the present in very extreme, emotionally challenging ways. And I'll say succinctly, it's because I decided I would read my journals from, first grade to now. And there's so many words that I've documented as a, wayward writer growing up and growing through young adulthood and then adulthood and parenting. Like it's all in journal after journal, and I'm just reading it to be real about whether I want these words in my life any longer. And so I'm on a separate, very specific and sort of grand journey into feeling the past and the patterns that I've held, and whether or not I might be wriggling out of that snakeskin as I, reacquaint myself with how long I've struggled with certain ways of being. You have your version. Mine is very like whatever. It's like I'm living the metaphor. But you might just be like, ugh, I'm overeating, or I'm wasting time, or I'm in love with someone who doesn't know I exist. Whatever version of some kind of idiosyncratic tick you have that you've had for a long time, or you can anchor or understand it as historic for yourself, but if it's binding you right now, please imagine that it's because it's coming to consciousness and leaving your life. And a lot of things don't leave permanently, profoundly, like forever and ever, but it's a pretty big layer. That's the point of the Red Serpent portals, is it's a pretty big layer that we are examining, re-experiencing, and releasing. That's nice. Last podcast, which seems like yesterday, I might be doing this the wrong day, but the last podcast I talked about Red Serpent having some kind of sort of sexual impetus, and you can review that if you missed it. I think Red Serpent has these, different angles, and I'm just trying to hit you with a few of them, and then maybe we'll figure out what one is most present for each of us as we get farther along in the wave spell. But here we're pretty close to the beginning, so I talked about the sexuality that can arise for us and the sort of instinctual perspective of the snake, the reptile. So again, please, last, it's just a podcast ago. I'm not going to touch on that too much right now. And so now we have, and the portals. Those are two key components of Red Serpent. Well, there's like dogs sort of wrestling with dreams. Over on the cosmic moon, because I think I want to spend the rest of our time trying to talk about this whole other piece of the natural time experience, which is ending the year. And so the cosmic moon, here we're in the third week in the West, and it might be a little more churned up in some way. I've cried a lot, not all the time, but just more than usual. That seems very third week in the West to me. And cathartic, emotional, maybe upheaval is too strong a word, but, emotional intensity that could be happening for you, and some movement, something that you can recognize is like, it's kind of like snapping awake and, has an urgency and expedience. And I'm caught in it. Like I'm having to attend things that are a little fast moving and feel a little out of control isn't maybe the word, but just I'm following a flood. I'm following a heavy, fast flow, white water kind of moment. That sounds right. That sounds like the third week in the West. So we're in that. And then the overriding cosmic moon, I'm going to say it again because it's just so true. And I'm saying it to myself. My God, this is a precious moment. It's not as obvious, I don't think, in the 13-day wave spells. I mean, is any tone as obvious when we have one day versus 28? But when we get to the 28 days of the cosmic moon, here's what I think about. I think about the whole year that's been. The year is ending, and it's very meaningful to me that I made it through the year, not like, oh, I'm alive, but a 13 moon wave spell is a ride. It is a big, long, steady, ascent. And a lot of things have to be overcome for us to go. Essentially 280 days of climbing into the sky, facing the challenge that is presented to us as our year's emotional and spiritual work, maybe physical as well, all aspects. We are going to work through, make our way over, and then ultimately be lifted up by the thing that was our challenge is going to be the thing we climb up over and are set like kind of aloft into flight, practically unifying ourselves with the outer cosmos, i.e. where our higher power lives, whatever we conceive as that power, that presence, the giver of life. Like, that's where we go when we ascend in the wave spell, and we don't get there as long as we're incarnated on earth completely, right? We don't go into heaven when we're living here on earth, but it is the destination, it's the aspiration, and that's what makes us more spirit-filled, spiritual, inspired beings, even though we're incarnated. And the wave spells are really like that simple. I know if I were like an old schoolmate of mine being like, what is Lisa doing? Let me listen to her podcast. If I heard what I just said from a point of logos, from the logical mind, I would be like, God, she is, first of all, super trite and simplistic. Like, what the hell? Like, there's a heaven and we aim for it, but we can't get there because we're sentient beings. I mean, that's like for children. That's like preschool ways of describing spirituality. And I get embarrassed now and then that that's pretty much what I believe. In terms of a wave spell, to me, it's really that simple. It is an ascending force that allows all of us who love feeling high, feeling out there, connected to the cosmos, kissing the feet of some universal divinity that we revere and want to be, you know, the child of, have this parental, caregiving Godhead take care of us, so we try to get closer. We do that every wave spell, and then the year-long wave spell, we do it for a long time. 280 days is 20 days more than 260. So for 280 days, that's 10 moons of our ascent, we are aspiring to get higher and higher and more spiritual, and that, you know, reverse word, to have spirit come into us, to be inspired. And it's, so it's a long stretch of time. And then for a shorter amount of time, we come back to Earth, we come back fast, and then we settle down from the 280 or 10 moon ascent and the 1 moon descent. We settle down for just 56 days. We fall in free fall when the wave breaks in the spectral moon that is 28 days long, the 11th moon, and then we have the crystal moon, the 12th moon of 13, where we truly are feeling everything like settle down and resolve. That was pretty crazy. And then we have now, which is kind of where I started, right? I wanted to present that 28 days of the cosmic moon is such a gift. Like, it's 28 days of not being in a story, of 28 days of not being active. Of course we can do things with our day, but we're looking at the journey of a waveform as a story we live, an adventure, a journey, the hero's journey. But we get a break between active cycles. And it doesn't mean that life is easy, because life can be very not easy when we're not active. Because it's, again, it's another version of trying to meditate and feeling really uncomfortable sitting still. But I don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm rereading my ancient history and with like abundant detail. And I'm aware that when I was really young and also really hurting and aspiring to find a God and solutions to my really clear, bursting out of my skin set of problems, I wanted nothing more than to be able to be still. And I couldn't do it. I didn't have any way to sit that still and contemplate, because there was just too much pain, you know, buried in me. And then volcanically, over 30 years, I guess, 33 somehow, I've, you know, had all this explosion and a lot of stuff has been released. And I do find that I like being still. And it doesn't mean sitting still, it can, but like quarantine is stillness compared to the pace that we've been moving at. And one thing I'll say, just speaking as an example of stillness, like the internet for me, just for my sensitivity, even though I indulge in it and get super attached to different aspects of it, i.e. researching or following, you know, celebrity gossip or the news, the headlines, history as it's happening, like I can get so ravenous for information, which was, I think the internet is like this information feeding tube, and you can always have more. It's psychotic for how my brain wants to still itself, to have all that available. So I live somewhere without Wi-Fi, and I do that as a boundary against my own bad decision making. But I'm examining it now as like it is stillness. to not be on the internet because you can't or because you decide not to is stillness compared to just, you know, a steady appetite of new information. So that's an example of the cosmic tone, which doesn't mean sitting in lotus position, you know, in a long, hours long meditative space. You can still have the quality of stillness compared to how the rest of the year has been, or compared to how you've been in the past. Every time we hit a cosmic moon for 28 days, we're kind of threading to the last cosmic moon and the many, many cosmic moons before that. And we're seeing our progress in exposure and experience with the tone, also in this parade of cosmic moments that we've had over the years. That would be true of every moon. So the year is ending. This is a cosmic tone. And then ultimately, I need to bring your attention back to something we never talk about here. And the reason why is because I don't know it by heart. And I'm really always, like, I'm not sort of a good enough teacher that I have a stack of notations in front of me when I talk here. Like, I just talk about what seems to want to be said, but what does want to be said but would require me to bring some papers here, and I will. This is sort of a preview, is that when we finish the natural time year, we're finishing two calendars. We're finishing the 13 moon calendar clearly through the cosmic moon, but we're also finishing a year of venals, and we never ever discuss the venals, but they're worthy of discussion, and maybe I could make that a sort of pledge or promise to try to bring that into our blue lunar storm year, which starts as soon as this year finishes, because the venals are 20 days long, and they were the real way the Maya divided the year, like real as in most important, most focal. They didn't primarily divide a 365 day year into 28 day months, but many, many other cultures do that, and the Maya did as well. So we make it focal because it embraces a lot of different histories and DNA that we're attached to, because it is a really nice, understandable, neat way to transition from the Gregorian count, which is so arrhythmic and artificial. So we go 12 months, 13 months. They're all like February. They're 28 days. That's nice and neat. It's not weird. It doesn't look weird in a grid on my wall. So we take that as our step away from the Gregorian into a different paradigm of time, of annual time, of a solar year. But the Maya divided their year into 20-day periods called venals, and there are 18 venals in a year, which is 360 days, and there's a 5-day period at the end, a transition between years, and it's called the Vayeb, and we're approaching the Vayeb because it will start on July 20th, and that's why I'm talking about it today, and then I'll bring more information next time, and I think I'm talking about it because it's so important, but because it's so authentically Mayan, sometimes I feel the least confident talking about the most truly Mayan indigenous part of this. Jose Arguelles wasn't that interested in the venals and didn't promote them. So everything I talk about all the time is couched in Jose Arguelles's interpretation, his English words, and so on. But the venals are completely uninterpreted or not reinterpreted. They're not run through a filter of anglicization or modernization. And so I find myself as the white lady with ancestors on the Mayflower, like a little less confident, not like intellectually confident, but just sort of like I'm a little more hands off. But I think at the end of the year, it's worth just experiencing that together, because historically and energetically, we're walking into the Vayeb really soon. We're in our final venal walking into the Vayeb, and that 5-day approach to the end of the year is very meaningful, and it could be for you. So we're going to want to wake up to it. So that is coming. That's next. That's like the next episode. It's like a preview. And I guess I haven't talked at all about the future, but just because I've mentioned that we're in portals, I think that's almost enough for you to grapple or grok. And you can always get my book if you want, or any internet kind of opening to read about the days as they happen, the days like red overtone moon and white rhythmic dog and blue resonant monkey and yellow galactic human. Those are the days that are all portals that are next for us. And so I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in the cache.